Hello, and welcome to From Ground to Great, a business, aviation, and personal growth podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Ruiz Jimenez, and today I'm here with Caitlin. Caitlin, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited that you came onto the podcast today. We were actually at Phil's earlier, and Caitlin wants to get into podcasting. She's huge into personal growth. It's really funny because the second time that we bumped heads into each other because we're in a stats class, so we sit in the same row, but we really started talking, and pretty much from what I heard from you was like, oh my God, I found someone that's into the same things that I am.
Right, yeah.
And I don't remember how that conversation got brought up, but I'm really excited that it did. I think it's because you mentioned that you were taking psych.
Well, what's funny is you asked, what I was majoring in or what classes I was, taking, and told you I'm interested in psychology, but I don't usually tell people that I'm interested in podcasting or personal growth. That's just not something that I share with people, especially people who ask me right off the bat. But
so I'm lucky, I guess.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I think I could share that information with this person, and it ended up working really well in my favor, so I'm glad I did.
Yeah. So hopefully, you can adjust your headphones however you like.
Do you think you could actually lower
the Yes. Volume? Well, I can lower it how it sounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Does it sound better on your end? Okay. Yeah. So that's just the headphone button. So I'm trying to teach Caitlin kind of how this board works. There's a board in front of me. It's a Rode board. It's super nice. Rodecaster Pro too, and it's helped me so much because I used to be able to record on a Yeti mic, and Caitlin is using one now. And I used to use one a lot, but it's so sensitive. And here, it's just able to filter out so well just how it sounds. And I just have to do very little editing, which is great on my end.
Yeah, this is my first experience in a studio, so this is very exciting for me.
Yeah, it is really cool. So I kind of just wanted to ask you, since you're into personal growth, and I'll actually share my story too, but if you're willing to be vulnerable and share about how you got into it. Cause I know every experience for someone that goes into it is there's a key turning stone or turning point where it's just okay, I have to do something right now based on what's been happening. Mm-hmm. So if you're willing to share that.
Yeah. Well, I remember learning about the psych class that we had in high school. I grew up in San Diego, so I remember being a sophomore wanting to take the AP Psych class, and they're like, oh, no, it's not available to sophomores. You have to be a junior or a senior. And I was very persistent with my counselor, and I was waiting for someone to drop so that they would let me in. And they finally let me in as a sophomore. And the second I got the textbook, I read the whole thing before the class even started. I mean, I was absolutely obsessed with learning about psychology and the brain. And it's something that just made me able to see myself in a different way. It allowed me to see my brain in a different way and kind of understand myself a little bit better. I feel before then I had always been super aware that my brain was creating new thoughts and that my brain could make new ideas that could lead somewhere. And that my brain was telling me how my body felt, but I wanted to learn more about my own relationship with my brain and how the brain works in general. So that's kind of where the fascination started. As I learned about psychology and as I started thinking about what I wanted to learn in college, I knew that I was going to study psychology or neuroscience or cognitive science or something along those lines. But then COVID happened. I graduated in 2020. And I think that the emotional experience, a bunch of emotional events happened kind of alongside COVID happening. And so that was a huge reflection period for me where I was going through, darker times, but that also was the shift for me to start. There was a point where I had reached a very low point that turns when I realized I literally woke up one morning and was I have control over my thoughts and my thoughts create my reality. And it was just it clicked and I started approaching things differently and reframing how I thought about things and intentionally reframing how I thought about things was creating like actual differences that I could see in my life immediately. Like even just cooking food differently, like approaching it differently, preparing my mind, understanding how my brain worked, that improved my quality of life so much that it just became like a snowball effect where I was just like, what other things can I learn about my brain, about how my brain works that will improve my quality of life?
Yeah. It's so cool to hear that. And I think people that go into personal growth have a similar way of finding out, okay, if I'm thinking the way that I am now, there's definitely a different way I can look at things. Mm-hmm. And it is a really pivotal point. And I've had someone else on the podcast where his father passed away, and that was the point for him where his father used to listen to a lot of like cassettes on personal growth. Mm-hmm. And he took at it and he started diving into it, and it completely changed your perspective. But you're willing to do that. You're willing to accept that things don't have to be the way they are now.
It is kind of a hard lesson to learn, because there is a level of peeling back or accepting the fact that a lot of the situations that you were put in, that you were in before, you didn't necessarily like create, but you kind of have some level of accountability over your experiences. I mean, it's a huge responsibility, an act of like accountability to say, I am autonomous over my day, over how I feel, over what I'm thinking. Like to take control over that is something that you can doubt. Like, do I really have control over the thoughts that pop into my head? Do I really have control over what I do? We oftentimes feel really out of control, and that taking that control is a really hard pill to swallow, I think.
Yeah.
And it's a lesson that you relearn, I think, and keep relearning. I still relearn that, even though my journey, my self-growth journey, started 3 years ago, or, you know, maybe when I was born, I feel like I have infinite amounts still left to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is really about constantly fortifying kind of these different, not skills, but also a mindset that you've put mm-hmm. yourself, that you've practiced for a long time, and you get tested. I got tested really recently. So one of my friends, he passed away. Mm-hmm. And I'm
sorry about that.
It's okay. I mean, he was a really happy guy, but you also knew that he would joke around about like a lot of stuff that, well, I guess there was a lot of signs, right? And it's just, after that time, I really kind of, and this was recent too, like just kind of went into a spiral, and I have a routine that I follow, and I just wasn't following it. And I set this routine because of beforehand, I needed to know that, like, okay, this is what future Daniel is like. What does he do in his daily habits? What does he do to be able to achieve? Like, what's the things that he does every day? And so I start applying that. So then, that is me, right? That mm-hmm. future Daniel is me, and it's the practice and the time and the discipline that you put in. Mm-hmm. But when something hard happens in your life, you have to get a grieving period, but you also have to know that, like, I had the realization of like, yeah, if I'm continuing how I am right now, I'm not going to get to what I envisioned Daniel to be like.
Yeah.
And
it's a both and, right? Like you have, it's kind of paradoxical to be in a situation where you are giving yourself permission to feel and grieve and experience the true hardships of what the human experience, you know, can feel. And then also look at things from a different point of view that's saying, okay, objectively, what I'm doing, where I'm putting my attention, is that furthering me into grief, or is it furthering me into my healing?
Yeah. And I think once you get into the growth of the journey of personal growth, you start realizing those kinds of paths, mm-hmm. and you see it, and at least you're able to recognize it, because I think a lot of people, they don't recognize it, and they get engulfed into that one mindset of like, okay, well, is this going to lead me anywhere eventually that will do any good?
Yeah.
Right.
I honestly have to ask myself that question quite frequently. I mean, being a woman, having a menstrual cycle, it can be really easy for me to dip into a low PMS that extends past that week of experiencing that PMS. And I had to get really real with myself and be like, okay, during this time, like, we need to fuel ourselves with different things and still love yourself in that process. Like, wanting change and loving yourself throughout changing is also another balance that seems so opposite. It seems so contradictory, but it's so important to have that self-love instead of the shame as you're changing and growing out of like a low period like that. Because you can experience, they can happen because of hormones, they can happen because of lack of sleep. Like, it's so important to get used to and allow yourself to feel it while loving yourself in that process and wanting change. Like, all can be true.
Yeah. And that brought up to a good point where I think you have to come and accept. And basically when you were talking, I felt like there's a metaphor that I kind of want to say where it's you. And I see this a lot in people that want to achieve success and ultimately attain it. It's something that you're trying to run away from. Like, for me, it's lack of motivation, not wanting to do stuff, not planning ahead, just kind of letting time slip by and not take control of it. And so I feel like I'm constantly running away from kind of a Daniel that used to be. And then I feel like I'm running towards what Daniel is destined to become, and I really do feel it. And you know, that wasn't something that I had. It's something that I had to build, and it's just constant. Like, a lot of books that I read in personal growth, and some of them overlap, but it's really nice to just read them because there's a new bit of information that might be directed a different way or a completely new way or a tactic to really be able to approach a certain thing that's going to benefit in your life. But just being able to go and realize this is the person that you can create. You in life, you get to create the person that you want to be. It's not just like, sure, you get cards dealt.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you just are going
to. You get to choose which ones to play. You get to choose how to play. I mean, it's so true. There's a lot that we can't control. And the more we understand or are able to discern what is out of our control and what is in our control, and the clearer picture we have or the clearer idea we have of those two things, the more we can focus. Like, we can only pour attention on things that we can control that make us feel good, that are energy in things. If we're pouring a lot of our attention towards things that are draining us, and then we're also worrying about things that are out of our control, I mean, you're gonna feel out of control. You're gonna feel like you have a shit, I don't know if we're allowed to
cuss. Yeah, you're allowed to cuss. Yeah, definitely.
A shit card, like, shit deal of cards dealt to you, you know? Like, it's a hand of cards? I'm not sure. But if you focus on what you can control, if you pour energy on the things that you can control, which usually revolves around you, you know?
How you think.
How you're thinking, what you're doing, usually. Like,
how do you interact?
How you interact. You know, what space you're in, how you're feeling. I mean, even if you can't control how you're feeling, you can decide to not resist a feeling and let that feeling move through you and move, keep moving, you know, keep being in a state of flow. You can choose that. That is in your control. And you can choose to, when you catch yourself worrying about something that is out of your control, you can choose to just allow that thought to fly by. You don't have to give that attention or energy or ruminate on things that don't benefit you or serve you.
Yeah, you definitely, sometimes you can't control what happens to you, but you can definitely learn how to react to it.
Yeah, or respond.
Yeah, and how, yeah, or how you want to respond to things. And I think that's so important, and definitely that's something that I'm working on just now, because it's I think when it comes to personal growth, everything is easier said than done.
Absolutely.
And everyone is still in a constant state of relearning, like, you know, how I was recently, and just being able to say, okay, well, I've gotten this far, mm-hmm. and I've practiced a lot of what I feel like is going towards the right path. Mm-hmm. And I think you start learning what that right path looks like.
Yeah. I remember there was a point in my self-growth journey about probably June or July of last year, 2023. This is February 2024 when we're recording this.
Yes.
I remember just telling the universe, like, I am so sick of fixing myself and growing. Like, truly, I reached a point in, like, my self-growth journey where I was like, is this just my life forever? Like, I'm just gonna keep having to improve, like, upon just to find a baseline of peace, just to find a baseline of happiness. Like, it felt like I was chasing a version of myself that kept just being, like, out of reach, mm-hmm. while the version of myself that, as you were saying, I was trying to run away from was just like stomping at my heels, like just like, you know, taking the my heel out of my tennis shoes, like just running right behind me. And I felt so like I was trying to run away from a version of myself that kept having these habits that I felt out of alignment with like what I was doing and where my head was at. And then I felt frustrated that I had to do anything about it in the first place. Like, why do I have to change? Why isn't me being human enough for me? Like, I am who I am today because of the experiences that my brain has experienced and witnessed. So why is this a problem? And it was like a point in my self-growth journey that was actually huge, because up until that point, I was so focused on being someone who I wasn't yet. And I was, but I didn't feel like her yet. And that was very clear. There was a gap. There was a separation. So me constantly chasing her meant that she kept running because mm-hmm. there was that gap. And I was, in hindsight, obviously I didn't know this at the time, but I was more focused on that gap of what I needed to do to bridge that gap and what was causing that gap than actually just being her. I wasn't doing the things that she did. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how to bridge the gap, but I wasn't doing and embodying and integrating those habits that, you know, she has, that higher version of myself would have. So I said, fuck you to the universe. I quit. I quit growing. I'm done with my self-growth journey. I'm just going to live. And I spent a couple months just being a human, and like a lot, I mean, I my brain is wired to think about personal growth. So as much as I tried to do this, I don't think it might have been to the level that I wanted to. But I for the most part put self-growth on the back burner. And when I thought about it, I wouldn't stress about trying to be someone that I wasn't yet. And that period of time, those couple months, allowed me to experience what life was like without shame, without self-shame for a moment, where I didn't need to do anything. There was no expectation that I was putting on myself. There was no pressure. There was no, you know, become the best version of yourself that you can be to better your life. There was none of that. And I think, to be fair, I was like collecting a lot of content and reading a lot of books that were centered around this. And I just felt really overstimulated probably from all of the different information that I was receiving. And I just went out into the real world and started what I focused on was just listening to what my body was saying, like, oh, I'm thirsty, I'm gonna drink water. Because I had been neglecting the little things. I had been neglecting the 8 hours of sleep. I had been neglecting drinking water. I had been neglecting eating a homemade meal that makes me feel good, you know? So by not focusing on all of the, like, okay, how do we become a better person, and start focusing on, okay, what do I need to do today? Like, just day by day, how do I need to take care of my body today? And just focusing on my body, that actually helped me focus on my self-growth journey way better, because mm-hmm. I started becoming attuned to what my body needed. And then I learned, oh, I need to get my blood moving. I need to like work out. Oh my gosh, working out, those endorphins, like there's absolutely nothing like working out for mental, like not even an SSRI could do what working out. And that's proven like in the file cap. I mean, there's studies that show that working out is just as effective as an SSRI. So these like biohacking things that we can do, I mean, there's so many like phases in a self-growth journey that are all so valuable and what you lean into personally is going to be like very catered to your experience and what's helpful for you at any specific time. Like, you know, I couldn't focus on my body until I focused on reframing my mental thoughts. That's what allowed me to focus on my body, because I got all of the rumination thoughts out of the way. I cleared my mind before I had to do that. But it was important for me to merge those at some point. And I don't know if I would have been as successful merging the mind-body connection if I hadn't cleared my mind first with cognitive behavioral therapy and other methods of journaling and whatnot. But, you know, I think I forgot what the initial question was.
No, that's fine. And I think what you brought up is so important. It's not just trying to chase something, but be present in what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because what's in the future doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It's not real. What happened in mm-hmm. the past doesn't exist.
Literally. You know,
it's just all in your mind, which Literally. Is kind of really crazy. To think about. And so what...
Do you get weirded out by that thought sometimes? Like,
yeah.
Your brain is... Like, your past is just... Not like it's not just like a figment of your imagination, but it's just a recording.
Well, they're electrical signals.
It's just a recording that your brain has done, and it's not even accurate. Like, our memory isn't even so, like, our past is so malleable to ourself. Like, if you want to live in a reality that's like, my past makes me who I am today, you can deny that. Like, you can say, no, I am who I am today, right now, just being me. Like, you don't have to let anything really define you, including your past.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so true. It's just, like, working on today, and there was this essay that I'm writing on, and my yoga teacher sent me this video, which is The Teachings from the Power of Now by Ael Talk something. I forgot. Talkhort something. Yes. And it was so valuable to me, especially during this like rough time of just the power of now, and there is no pain in the present. Mm-hmm. The pain exists from a future of a past. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes is fueled by ego. And it's so weird to me because, and I wrote this in my essay, I've practiced this before, but I recently started doing it again, and it's literally just kind of removing all your thoughts. What I do is just focus on breathing. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, I realize that my brain is filtering so much stuff of what's going on in the real world. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much stuff anyways going on in the real world. Like if we had a conversation, it fills, mm-hmm. right? Our brain wants to filter out the voices of other mm-hmm. people, because if we were to hear that, that's very overwhelming.
Yeah.
And when I get into just a present moment, it feels exactly that.
Yeah.
It's so overwhelming, and it's like so like, it's like stimulating almost. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, whoa, like it's like I'm seeing everything for the first time.
It's better than your phone. Like you look up from your phone and you take a breath of air and you notice how that smells, and you look around and you notice how things like are, and you notice that there is so much stimulation already around us. Like mm-hmm. we don't need any extra stimulation from our phones, from social, I mean, I don't mean to bring that, but I feel like we're detached from realizing that mm-hmm. or like we're re-realizing that now because we've been kind of not in the real world, especially after COVID. And
yeah, well, a lot of people during COVID really had to cope with just having to be inside the home a long time. And it's like, well, looking at walls all the time is not very fun. And, you know, you'll watch TV to pass the time. You'll be on your phone to pass the mm-hmm. time. And you'll find all other things where, I'm not saying I did this all the time, but just being able to, like, experience just how you are right now in the moment. And exactly what you were saying, just feeling how your body is, how it, like, if you really focus on And you feel that overwhelmingness of what's going on, you can use that, and you can shift it into your own body and see, like, okay, my hip feels kind of weird, or there's a tingling Absolutely. Sensation. And you know what? I found that so important in jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. and it's something that I didn't know that I didn't have, but definitely need.
Yeah.
And that's why I add it into my daily, like, habit and routine, just to get really in touch with your body, because you're learning all these different techniques for grappling on the ground, but mm-hmm. you're like, okay, focus on your pressure. Where are your hips settled? Where are your mm-hmm. opponent's hips settled? Mm-hmm. You need to know this in order, like in jiu-jitsu, a lot is a lot about controlling hips, mm-hmm. but you just don't think about that.
Yeah.
And you get in tune with your mind and your body in a way that I haven't experienced yeah. before. And it's really struggling. Like, I'll go out of it and I'm like, fuck, that sucks. but I try to bring it back and be like, okay, but like, I know what I need to learn
mm-hmm.
or, oh, I was able to learn this. Mm-hmm. Right. So like maybe in the moment I'm like, well, like everyone just choked me out and like, yeah. you know, I got submitted, whatever. But if you're just able to focus on the tiny little things, especially for like the body movement and just controlling what's going on, and you forget, especially as a white belt, you forget that like when you're using your arms, you have legs too,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you have hips or you have your body pressure.
Swimming, like I'll be doing backstroke and I'm like, my legs are not kicking. I'm just moving my arms.
Yeah. 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 So I think that's so important in personal growth, because it is about like, and we were talking about like these pillars earlier before we started recording about just, and we talked about this in Grant Chastain's podcast too, of just eating right, sleeping right, exercising, you know?
All three of those pillars that you mentioned there require one thing, which is just paying attention to how your body feels. In other words, attuning to how your body feels. Like that is, in essence, the human experience. Like mm-hmm. what you're experiencing is what your sensory neurons are experiencing, mm-hmm. and that's it. And where you're putting your attention is also the only thing that you're experiencing. What you don't give attention, you don't notice, you don't pick up, you don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we have control over our attention. And understanding that, you can put your attention into your body, you can put your attention into the person sitting across from you, you can put your attention into your breath, and you can put your attention into the world around you, into anything. But if you discern what you're putting your attention into is good for you versus what you're pouring your attention into is not, then that's like the first step. I would say for anyone like on a personal growth journey, and especially having that attention go towards your body, because your emotions are in your body and you do feel them in your body and they feel good. Like feeling your feelings, okay, I'm about to get into this, but feeling yeah. your feelings feels so good. Mm-hmm. At a swim meet, for example, if you don't, whatever, like feeling pain when you're sad and you allow yourself to cry and you're listening to a sad song, that feels good. Like it feels like a release. You know what hurts? When you feel sad and you resist that feeling, that is the pain. That the pain that you experience from any sensation that you're experiencing is more from the resistance or from the shame than from the true essence of what you're experiencing. Because if you just pay attention to the actual sensation in your body, it can feel, even pain, even a knife through your chest type of pain can feel like all, like it's asking, it's crying for your attention. Like that's why it hurts. Your body is begging you to pay attention to your heart and how your heart feels and to give it some love. And whatever you naturally like are inclined to do in that moment is exactly what your body needs from you. Like you are the only person that can soothe yourself. No one else can soothe those heightened feelings of pain. And once you allow yourself to feel that level of pain without fear, or with fear, feel it anyway, you expand your capacity to experience pleasure as well. I mean, as much pain as you're willing to feel in yourself is exactly how much pleasure and joy you'll experience as well. And gratitude, I mean, emotions and sensations can overcome you and overwhelm. Like if you open yourself up to that experience, it can truly breed like a different way of experiencing your life around, like, you know?
Yeah, no, and I like how you said that. And even through when you're talking right now, I can see that you are really letting the emotions and the feeling behind it. And you are really embodying that. And that's really refreshing to see. So that's really cool. But going back to like, you're not going to be able to know that if you don't let yourself be present mm-hmm. and feel what's going mm-hmm. on. And more importantly, there's a lot of times where you have to learn what your body is going through or what your emotions are going through to be able to come to a different outcome if you choose to.
Yeah.
And it starts with being able to accept
yes.
what is going on and not rejecting it.
Yes. Like yeah. if you're like, I want this to change, but okay, I'll give like a super simple example. If I were to say, okay, I hate doing the dishes. I hate doing the dishes. I find myself doing the dishes. I'm like holding my breath. I'm like, I don't know what in my past is like, I hate doing the dishes. But even my body has a nervous system reaction to standing at the sink that I noticed when I noticed that I was holding my breath. Mm. I mean, these are things that are important to pay attention to. Like, okay, like my nervous system gets a little tight when I'm standing by the sink doing dishes. Let's focus on breathing while I'm doing this. If I were to say, like, I hate doing the dishes, but I hate that I was doing this before. I hated that I hated doing the dishes, because they needed to get done. I'm like, Caitlin, it's just something that needs to get done. You're making it way too deep. Like, it's not that deep. Just do the fucking dishes. Like, mm-hmm. just do them. Like, just do it. Like, it takes... Just do one, and once you do one, like, it takes literally 5 minutes to load the dishwasher. Like, it's nothing. And when I was talking to myself, do you think I was enjoying doing the dishes? No. Like, when I was talking to myself like that, like, no. I was, like, in so much shame. Honestly, it was worse when I would go to the dishes. It was like, I felt like a five-year-old, and I was talking to myself like a five-year-old. And not only that, I was talking to the five-year-old me, like, really meanly. Like, not very nice at all. I mean, I was... holding absolutely zero understanding for the version of me that viscerally hated that experience for reasons unknown. And because the reasons were unknown, I felt like it was appropriate to talk to myself like that. You don't know why you hate doing the dishes. You just get like that when you do the dishes. You're a pussy. I'm just sorry. Like, you suck. Like, mm-hmm. you can't do the dishes. Like, just do the dishes. But once I flipped that and was like, well, I flipped it once I noticed, like, oh my gosh, I'm holding my... Like, this goes deeper than just not liking the dishes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a body reaction that I have towards doing the dishes. Let me maybe, just maybe, extend a little bit of empathy towards myself, a little bit of compassion, a little bit of grace, a little bit of love. What does that look like in action? Not just like, appeasing myself, but in action, what does that look like? Okay, you don't want to do the dishes right now? Don't do them. But don't feel shame for not doing them. Just do something else. Or if you don't want to do the dishes right now, do one. And literally just do one. And stop when you feel like it. Like, stop making it, like, showing myself love to do this thing meant, looked like, give, like, cutting myself a little bit of extra slack because it's not that deep. Like, I don't need to be, you know, being super mean to myself for the dishes. Like, you know... Once I, like, flipped that and I was like, you know what? Do the dishes whenever you feel like, Caitlin. Like, I love you. Whether you do the dishes or not, I mean, the sink can be filled for 3 days. It doesn't matter. You can chip it away. Like, take as long as you want. It doesn't matter. I now don't mind doing the dishes. I mean, I'm indifferent to doing the dishes now. But showing myself that love and showing myself that compassion and grace was a way better approach and way more effective than any type of shaming that I was doing. But that also applied to when I was, like, feeling sad. Like, when I used to feel frustrated or sad or angry, it was taught to me that, you know, those emotions are not really great emotions to be showing around other people or just to have in general. I didn't know that I was allowed to be angry in a healthy way. So once you're like, I'm angry, and you let yourself be angry, I mean, that feels good. Feeling the ammo of frustration and anger, that it's like a juice. It's like a juice that you can use to fuel yourself into other things. Yes, yeah. Alchemize it, whatever. But you don't have to alchemize it until you feel it. You don't even know what to alchemize until you feel the true essence of what it is. You know, like, it truly is possible to alchemize. It's just you have to accept it first.
Yeah.
And really be with it and like, kind of love it in, like, a sick way.
Yeah. And I want to ask you to do an exercise next time you get put in a situation like that, like you described, and to the people listening, too. This is something that I brought back a long time ago when I had a different podcast, but I'm really happy to bring it up now. In this book, Neurolinguistic Programming, The Essential Guide by Tom Hubiar, talks about how there's a certain way how we get triggered to do something and how we react to it. And usually there's an outside stimulus. So let's give your dish example. And you might be your visual stimulus. It doesn't have to be. It can be any kind of modality. And that just means like sensory, feel, smell. Doesn't matter. Right?
It could even be your own thought mm-hmm. in your own head.
And you have a bias towards one. So I would try to and find out what that is in your self-discovery. And a good example to find that in someone else or in yourself is when you want to describe a pleasant moment, how do you describe it? And you'll see that it might be more kinesthetic, it might be more mm-hmm. auditory, it might be more smell. So it's really important to recognize that. However, it could be visual. And that's usually what a lot of people go towards, but it varies. And maybe it's the sight of dishes getting stacked mm-hmm. that for you will then trigger a thought. And that thought, and I'll give you an example of my own life, can look like in so many different ways. And so that thought will then will give your body an emotion, and you get that emotion and maybe you feel it, and then you'll go and do it. You'll go do the action of, no, I don't want to do the dishes. Yeah. Or, I'm going to do this and pick up my phone, right? Yeah. And for example, for a phone, it's probably you hear a ding or you feel a buzz, right? So they're really smart in marketing because mm-hmm. they're using mm-hmm. both of those. Or your phone lights up. Mm-hmm. You'll get a visual response. It might be, in your mind, you might see the girl that you have a crush on text you, mm-hmm. right? And then you're like, okay, you feel an emotion from that. And then you go up and pick up your phone and see, oh, what was it? You know, but you scroll anyways.
Yeah.
For me, it was a gym. Going to the gym. And I'll describe it how it was for me. Just like maybe looking at something that would trigger my response to maybe needing to go to the gym. Maybe I'll put it on my phone as a reminder or mm-hmm. something. But that triggers that. And my thought, the thought that I had was this big rat. It doesn't matter. A rat inside this little hamster wheel, mm-hmm. and he's all juiced up. He's ripped. He's got the little like baby bottle to like, you know, like take steroids or like whatever to get juiced up. Mm-hmm. And he's just running in a circle. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
Right. And so in my mind, that sucks because that's like not what I'm about. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I don't want to just be stuck in one place just lifting weights.
Yeah.
So then that would trigger a response of not wanting to go. Yeah. And guess what would happen? I would not go.
Yeah.
But if I were to look back, and I did, you're able to shift that mm-hmm. thought. But it's really important to recognize the thought that comes up. So I really invite you to do that. And I'm sure you'll find it, if not
what's
already.
So funny with that is what's more than just a thought coming up. It's a feeling. It's mm-hmm. It's a reaction that your body is having to something that when you actually go in and pick, because all of this is happening, it can happen very easily underneath your level of awareness.
Like it that's is when
most
happens.
Of the time
yeah,
you're not aware. Yes. So what's funny is when you actually go back and you dive into and you pick apart what's happening, like the process of what's happening, it can be humorous. You can find a little bit of humor out of it. Like, oh my gosh, like, is this true? Like, is this an accurate reaction to what's, because sometimes it is. Sometimes I get a little bit of anxiety when I open Instagram. I think that that's an appropriate reaction. Instagram is not a very peace-inducing app to go on. It's just a bunch of comparison, and it is probably very anxiety-inducing for me. So maybe that is something that I pay attention to and actually follow. Hey, this doesn't feel good. And then other things like the gym, like you were saying, like, is it true that going to the gym keeps you in one place? Like, that's not a true statement, but mm-hmm. but your body.
And it makes me feel like it is.
Your body is reacting as if that is a true thought.
Yes, exactly.
And so the feeling that you're following is, this isn't good for me. I don't want to do this. And when you go and you pick it apart, you realize like, oh, wait, I there was just like a little bit of a disconnect. Like there was some truth, but let's calibrate this statement to mm-hmm. be truthful, and then let's see if I respond in a way that is according to that. And I think like following, like it's funny because I mentioned like you know, following how your body feels is so important. But it's also kind of funny because your body is not always going to want to go to the gym. You know, you're not going to,
especially
you're
going to
have a lot
too.
Of resistance yeah. towards a lot of things that are actually good for you. So it's also important to discern, like, okay, is this something that is hard to start but feels good in the long term? Or is this something that feels good now and is not actually good for my body? It's actually an energy out thing. And yeah. I think that that is kind of what I'm currently in the process of figuring out. I mean, when to push yourself and when to not. But I've been pushing myself to go swim every day. And I started about 6 weeks ago. And I mean, the endorphins that I feel from that feel addictive. Like I'm at first, like the first month, I was like, oh, every single day I did not want to go. But I remembered, like, to grow willpower and tenacity, it's really good for you to do something that you don't want to do every day. So I would just make that my thing that I didn't want to do every day. I just was like, okay, well, I'll just do something that I don't want to do every day. And this will be it at first. And then I kind of got addicted to doing something that I didn't like doing every day. Because even just pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, that brings in new experiences and new emotions and new chemicals releasing in my brain that feel good and different and way better than doom scrolling did. So I'm like, it's almost like creating these habits into bettering my life are like rebellious and sneakily like really, really good for me, but it's like kind of confusing because I'm like, you know, it just feels way better than I actually fathomed. Like I wanted a replacement for like going on Instagram for 6 hours because that felt so good. Well, all of the things that I'm replacing it with feel like tenfold better, like 10 times better. Like it's truly like an investment that's a very valuable investment
yeah.
in yourself and yeah. in future you, but also in present you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really important to see all those sides of it, how you're mm-hmm. mentioning it. And I have a question that I really want to ask you, but I want to go back to your point of doing stuff that you don't want to do. There's this really cool part in your brain. It's called the mid-cingulate cortex. Mm-hmm. And this thing grows mm-hmm. every time you do something you don't want to do.
Exactly.
And I feel like in my life, I have a lot, well, coming from a kind of a lack of motivation, Daniel, mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't want to do a lot of stuff.
Isn't that motivation in and of itself?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? I can, yeah. Honestly, that's like, I can grow a part of my brain that will actually make my resilience better, my reaction to stress and mm-hmm. stressors, any stressor, a teacher that you don't like. I mean, like any stressor in your body, being sick, this part of your brain is growing the more I do things that I don't want to do
yes.
that are good for
yes.
me. That yeah. is motivation. That yeah. is so motivating. And
yeah.
that's why I love learning about the brain, because what better way to like enhance your life than to do things that scientifically work
mm-hmm. and are studied about and are
yes.
talked about. And it,
and this is a new discovery, which
this is really recent.
Really, really
yes,
new. And it's
really,
really exciting.
Cool. Yeah. And basically what we're talking about, summarize it, the more you do stuff that you don't want to do, the more inclined and the easier it gets to do stuff that you don't want to do.
But it has to be.
And it has to be. Yeah. And you have to grow it. It's a muscle.
Yes.
And it shrinks if you don't use it.
Because I, for example, I'm still doing swim, but I look forward to going to swim practice now. That is no longer my thing that I
yes.
use
yeah.
to grow that
I'm
part
so
of my brain.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
So in order yes. for me to grow that part of my brain, do that thing that I don't want to do, like I have to push myself in other ways. And what does that create? If my only goal is to grow that, that could be my only self-growth journey, to grow that little part of my brain, like my mid-cingulate cortex, I don't know. And all of a sudden, my capacity expanded from, hey, I push myself to go to swim every day. Now that I love doing that, I also did it with cold showers before. I love cold showers now. So those two things don't work for me. But mm-hmm. guess what? Those two habits that I wanted in my life that I hated doing are now benefiting me. And now I have the capacity to add something else that mm-hmm. I don't want to do. Now that I love doing those things, which who knew? Now I get to choose something else that is a little bit challenging, that is pushing myself. You can't grow into the person, like, unless you're like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's really easy to be like, on a self-growth journey and be like, who do I become now? What do I do now? Just follow what you want to do. Like, do what you want to do. Challenge yourself. You know, there's so many things that are our hobbies that are hard that we want to do that, oh, no, I shouldn't do those things. Like, all of those little things that are, like, not very urgent or not very seemingly important in the grand scheme of things, but are just little things that are just for you. Nobody else knows about them. Those are the things that are important to pour your attention to, like, into. Because those are the things that tell yourself who you are. And more than that, show yourself who you are. You can't, like, 2 months ago, I was trying to find confidence. Like, how can I be confident in who I am if I'm not proud of what I'm doing every day? So I was trying to find confidence by telling myself, hey, you're great, Caitlin, in the mirror. What about showing myself who I am by actually doing that? Guess how my confidence is now? Like, I don't even have to think about it. Like, I am just who I am, existing and being who I am, and it feels great. I don't have to prove anything to anyone, including myself, because it just, I feel it in my bones. When I look at myself, I don't have to say it out loud in the mirror because I can see it in my eyes. Like, I think that this mid-cingulate, cingulate cortex, focusing on growing that, I mean, just challenging yourself to do that for every day for a year, your life will change.
Yeah, and I liked how you mentioned that you like cold showers, which I don't know how the fuck you do that. And I guess it's easier for me to keep growing my tenacity than willpower. But, you know, I hate doing that, or I hate waking up and going to jujitsu. Of course, I like the feeling of it afterwards, but I just hate doing it. But once you're able to find a thing that no longer you actually enjoy as part of your habit, I like the frame of how you put it as now you can encourage yourself to do something more challenging and expand on it, because those things are now something you enjoy and they're part of what, you know, future Caitlin is going to be.
Yeah.
And you're embodying it. It's not just future Caitlin. You're doing the things that
it's the integrated future,
you know, yeah, like, it's all integrated.
It's happening, like, in real time.
Yes.
The integration and now my self-growth journey is no longer something that I see as, like, a hill that I'm walking towards the hill that I need to climb. No, I'm on the hill, and we're climbing it. I don't know how high the peak is. I don't know if I've reached the top of the mountain yet, but it doesn't matter. I'm just enjoying the journey, and I hope that this hill is as high and has many valleys and peaks. You know, like, that is how life will be. But, like, at this moment, you can only focus on what's coming to, because I don't want to start on a whole new conversation, but I think that our desires and, like, you know, what we naturally have, like, a lot of the things, like, I wanted to swim every day, you know, like, that's something that I wanted to do so bad. But in real time, it was clear that I didn't want to because I wasn't doing it. So that is something that I could use to grow my willpower and tenacity. You know, there are things that you may want, but if you're saying that you want something and you don't see it in your actions, then, like, you don't actually want it that bad. Mm-hmm. And if you want to show yourself that you want it that bad, then you're going to do what it takes to get it. And you have the autonomy. Like, there's a lot of things that you can't control, but you can control what you do while you wait for that thing to come for you. You can believe in manifestation. You can believe in spiritual, like, having things come to you, attracting things, all of that. But you need to watch your weight. You need to also be an active participant in your life as well.
Yeah.
Towards who you want to be, and that's how you resonate. And honestly, like, you discover how expansive and good and peaceful it is once you're there. Like, you don't know what it feels like until you're there.
Yeah.
But I bet you if you're not there, like, it feels way better to just do it. Just do it. But it feels way better to just do it than to think about it. Like, I was like, I'm terrible at drinking water. And I have this thought pop into my head all the time, Caitlin, drink water. And you know how often I think about that? Like, how often I listen to that thought? Probably half the time, 50%. And guess what? That is actually what I'm using now. I can use a smaller thing to grow my willpower and tenacity. I can focus on getting 8 hours of sleep now and drinking more water now that I've discovered these bigger things. Like, you don't have to start small or big. There's no order to it. It's just you have desires for a reason, because those are what that's what's meant for you to experience. So following those natural desires. Hey, I want to do this, but I'm not seeing that I want to do this. That's the type of thing that you can invest in that'll improve your quality of life so much and your mental state.
Mm-hmm. And I like seeing this. I have a visual image of someone. It's a bookshelf, and the book of any kind of personal growth book you can think of is there, and you can pick it up and read it, but it doesn't mean that you're applying it into right now. Mm-hmm. And basically everything you just talked about right now is embodying, like what I used to do. And you mentioned this was, you know, I had to tell myself in the mirror. And this is something, a tactic that I learned from Think and Grow Rich from Napoleon Hill, or by Napoleon Hill. And tell yourself, even if you don't believe it, this is who I am, you know? And then I would go execute it. But the really important part is really, it doesn't matter where that, like, it doesn't matter that I learned it in a practical sense from Think and Grow Rich, or it doesn't matter that I learned it in a spiritual way, but just doing whatever you have in your toolkit to be able to do the thing that you're meant to do. And you just know, like, people say, I don't know. It's so hard to explain,
but you do know. I mean, people say, I don't know what I want. Well, what feels good? Mm-hmm. Like, what feels good when you do it? And if you don't know what feels good, well, do you know what your body feels like? Mm-hmm. Like, I think like starting with a meditation, even, like, honestly, yes, what you were saying about the tools in your toolkit, gathering any and every tool that you hear can be a little bit overwhelming, but the ones that resonate with you and applying them and sticking with them, like, and if they drop out, like, if you weren't good with it, not shaming yourself for it not working for you, because there are so many, like, I'm terrible with to-do lists. You know, I literally have to make it all pretty and, like, a bunch of pictures. There's no to-do list. It's just like a diagram of, like, pictures of, like, what I want to do for the month. That is not, like, a traditional thing. And when I tried to-do lists, I was shaming myself for not being good at them. But wouldn't it be way better if I was like, oh, that didn't work, and then just try this immediately, or try a bunch of different things until something stuck? Like, that, and honestly, we grow so much that something can work for you for 3-6 months. And I think this was frustrating me at the time when I was saying, like, oh, why do I have to keep growing? It just felt like I was growing out of the tools that were working for me in that time. Like, I was in cognitive behavioral therapy at the time, and, like, my therapist was like, oh, reframe that. I'm like, I'm already doing that. Like, the tools that I have, I need different tools. The tools that I had were for my mind. I needed different tools for integration. I was like, I don't know how to integrate these things that I'm learning, but I know so much, but it's not, I don't see it. And I was very frustrated because I didn't see it in what I was doing. And I was like, I know it all, but, like, I don't know it all. But, like, you know, it's in my brain. Yeah. Like, I know what I need to do, but I'm not doing what I need to do. Like, where is that disconnect happening? It was happening in my rumination. It was happening in my second guessing and my doubt and all of that. But I totally lost.
Yeah, it's doesn't matter. And this is a really good point that you brought up. It's, you get a tool, doesn't matter where the fuck it comes from. That tool might not always work. Sometimes you need to reframe it in a different way, or you just need something entirely, completely different. And then you find the thing that works for you, but fucking use it.
Only you know what you need to work on. Like, say you really, like, I don't know. I had a roommate 2 years ago that was so good at doing what she needed to do in the day, like, her discipline. And, like, she would wake up at 6 a.m., do homework, you know, cook 3 meals a day, get a workout in, and also have social time with her friends on the weekends. She was an a cappella. She was, like, checking all the boxes on, like, what you needed to get done to be, like, good, you know, whatever. But then, like, she didn't feel, like, in her brain, like, she was, like, enough or whatever. And so she would ask me, like, what, you know, like, I'm doing all the things that I need to be doing, that I'm supposed to be doing in order to feel good, but I don't feel good. It's like, well, those things aren't making you feel good then. Like, you have to find the things that are making you feel good. Or Or you have to give yourself a little bit of, like, you know, like, it could, you focus on the mental thing instead of, like, what you're doing, or maybe being more present during what, but it's, like, she doesn't have the problem that I have, which is doing things. She knows how to do things. And I think that that's a, like, amazing skill, but I, like, had to learn how to, like, do things, you know? So if that's, like, your struggle, you will know what to address, I guess, in your personal life.
Yeah. And for me, that I was really, I guess I'm very thankful for my parents and how I was brought up, that I was able to try everything and I never felt limited, that I couldn't just drop something and pick something up. But when I picked it up, like, for example, jiu-jitsu, I was like, yo, y'all are just rolling on the ground. It's like two, like, dudes hugging each other, whatever. But I was like, you know, it's kind of weird. But I went into it, I took a class, and I knew automatically, yes, this is what Daniel needs. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I need to get to the point of the, you know, the image of what Daniel needs. And I never knew that I needed that until I did it. Yeah. So I think that's really important to point out is just, like, go out and do stuff, and then you'll find those things that are going to be like, yes, I need this, and I love doing this, and you find a love for it just through the journey.
I think it's like, also to that point, you have to kind of drop any boxes that you're putting yourself in.
Yes.
In order to do that, like, you can't say, something that I've been doing with my podcast is, I'm not a podcaster. Yeah, I'm not a podcaster because I have not uploaded a podcast. But once you do, Caitlin, you will become a podcaster. Like, that's how it works. You are what you do. I mean, not really, but, you know, you are what you pour your energy into. Another example, I would tell myself, oh, I'm not very creative. Like, until I read the book, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert, highly recommend. I was like, oh, I'm not a very creative person. And then I realized, oh my gosh, my outlets of creativity were just not the stereotypical outlets of creativity, which would be like, you know, art or drawing or whatever, dance or whatever. I just, like, really loved fashion and expressing myself in other ways, but it would never be like necessarily like what I would see as art. And so then I was like, okay, well, I really love drawing and I really love painting, and let me do this just to like, on my downtime. I, like, learned so much just as I was, like, I felt really out of control one day. And I just decided to pick up a paintbrush and paint a little bit. And you know what I did have control over? Where the what colors I was choosing and where the lines and where the paintbrush went on the paper. And I felt so out of control in my life. And I just went and I did this one little activity that gave me, it allowed me to completely reframe and approach life in a new way. From that experience of just like, oh, I do have control. It was a reminder. Like, there are lessons in all of these little things that we can do, but we have to drop the label or the expectation that you need to be good at. Like, I just dropped the expectation that I needed to be. I was like, I can watercolor and not consider myself a painter and still watercolor a piece of paper. I don't have to be a podcaster to upload a podcast. I don't have to be a swimmer to go to swim practice. Although it's like, for some reason, it's easier for me to call myself a swimmer because I've been doing it for longer. So once you start doing it and once you gain experience, that shift of, oh, I'm not this, I'm not good enough, I'm not, that's all it is. It's just, I'm not good enough to do this thing. If you're a human, you're good enough to really try anything and do anything. I mean, really, it's just gaining a bunch of, it's play. I mean, monkeys growing up, if they don't get enough playtime every day, 10 minutes to 20 minutes of leisure time, their brain development significantly suffers from just not having enjoyment of their day and socialization. So us as humans, we're not any we're monkeys. We're animals. We need that playtime. We need that relaxation for our brain. And we need to drop all, like, we're not anything other than human. And we're anything we want to be.
Mm-hmm. When you were saying that and then you used the word label, which I really liked, it's like you're closing your eyes and you can see kind of your forehead and you put on a piece of, like, masking tape, oh, like, I'm not a painter or I'm not a podcaster. Mm. And while you were speaking, I literally saw, like, you just, like, ripping those labels off.
Yeah.
Just, and you just removed them and then you didn't even put any on. I don't think you even, no, you didn't put any on. And I think that's a really important note to add. Like for me, like I was thinking about it while you're speaking, and it's like, oh, do I pick up another label and then I say, oh, pilot? It's like, no, just remove the label. You're putting yourself in the box from what you were saying.
So freeing, by the way, to live life like that, because then, like, you are a, like, I mean, I was just like, I'm a beginner. Like, I'm a beginner at life too. Mm-hmm. I'm a beginner at adulting, but just allowing myself to be a beginner. Whoa. Like, I don't care if someone like comments on my first painting, like, that's a shit painting. Like, yeah, it was my first one. And like, you know, like it all of a sudden, like it gave me permission. It allowed me to give myself permission, which I didn't know I needed, but I guess I needed permission to be whoever I want to be, like, and to not be, you know, like, why do we have to be? I think it's also so innate. Like, I'm still learning labels that I've attached to myself that I wasn't even aware what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a 21-year-old, what it means to be this, what it means to be, like, whatever we attach our, like, we are categorical, like, our minds automatically categorize these things. Like, it's just the way our brain works. Mm-hmm. But peeling that away is so fun, and it's so freeing.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you brought the permission thing. You don't need permission from anyone to start anything.
But sometimes it's helpful to give yourself permission, because...
Well, as I'm saying, you know, like, you don't need it from anybody. Yeah, you don't need it from anybody. Just go and do it. Yeah, give yourself permission.
Yes, yeah. You're the only one who needs to do that. Yeah. And you don't even need to do that. You can just do. Yeah. I mean, there are some limits. I mean, we're talking about, like, murder, you know.
Well, in theory, you're a good person and you want to do good things. Yes. But I think everything that we wrapped up today was awesome. Yeah. And just being able to, I think I visualize someone that's listening to this podcast and has probably picked up a book or two, but it's just getting that, you know, cycle to happen, or just getting something to move along. Actually, keep stepping the path that you keep going on, like that mountain or that hill, and just allowing yourself to continue to do that.
Can I say one thing too before? What you mentioned something like at the very beginning that I wanted to say that I forgot, but whether we're aware of it or not, our emotions are driving what we're doing in our day. Like, you know, how we feel decides, you know, what we do. Like, I don't really feel like doing that, so I'm not going to do that. Or, oh, I feel like doing this, I'm going to do. Like, everything we do is based on how we feel. So I think, like, if you're unaware of how to integrate these, any self-help tip, any self-growth tip that you want to, it all just starts with attuning to where your body is at and meeting yourself where you're at every single day. No judgment, no shame. You're allowed to be at a different place today than yesterday. And if it feels like it was, like, behind yesterday, it's a figment of your reality, like, imagination. Like, there is no such thing as being worse off than yesterday. We're always growing, you know? So meeting yourself where you're at every single day, and also checking in with yourself where your body is, how your body is feeling every day, is such a good start. Like, it's such a good starting too, place.
Because I think for me, it's really those thoughts that will trigger the emotion that come to it. But then, exactly like what you're saying, it's, how are you going to react to those emotions that you feel and you should be feeling?
Or respond. And responding. A lot of what we do is a reaction. And it's about separating yourself, like, creating more time between the thought and what we do so that it becomes less of a reaction and more of a response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for people to listen to this. Oh, I think it's been great.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. It was such a fun conversation.
Yeah, it was. And you're just so passionate and so engaging. And you can tell. And I think people listening to it are just going to feel that on the other end. Thank you so much.
And thank you for breaking the ice for me. This is my first podcast episode I'm recording. If you want to go visit my podcast, I believe I'm going to be calling it Reframation. Is that a good name?
Reaffirmation?
Like, reframing.
A reframation.
Reframation. It turns out that's actually like a religious group, though. So I don't
Well, that might be hard if you're gonna use that as a as a domain.
Yeah,
maybe it's already taken.
No, it's not actually. It's just like a domination of, of Christianity, I think.
Well, I think you should. If you like it, yeah. I think you should do it.
Yeah. Well, go check out my podcast. I'll also have Daniel on my podcast as well, if you'd like to go.
Yes, I would love to.
Listen to that episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other ways for people to reach out to you? Or
my Instagram is you'll
see it.
But this was such a pleasure. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate
it.
It was my pleasure. Yeah. All right. Thanks.